Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We're in the house to praise Him, bring glory to Yeshua. He is the Messiah. Amen.
Amen.
If you're wondering who the Messiah was, who's the one who's going to take care of all the mess that we've made down here? Hallelujah. He's the perfect one. Amen. He is the one who created the world, and He's the one who can fix everything. So let's get to know Him. Amen?
Amen.
We might learn a thing or two. He might impart a thing or two. And we might get healed. We might get a word from Him of direction that could change our lives. Hallelujah. You just never know what could happen in the presence of the Lord. Right?
Amen.
So, thank you, Lord.
Chronicles 33.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Hey, Shabbat, Shalom. Hey, Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Lord of Israel. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora V'Simcha, Ora V'Simcha, Shabbat Menucha. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora V'Simcha, Shabbat Menucha, Shabbat Menucha. Hey, this day for Yisrael, this day for Yisrael. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Filled with light and joy. A Sabbath of Israel. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. A Sabbath of Israel. A Sabbath of Israel. Hallelujah. Let's bless the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher natan lanu adorech ha-Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen. I'm struggling with my voice today, so I hope you'll just give me grace. I got some good backup, though, here, so praise the Lord. We've got Tammy singing and Deborah up here as well, and then Anthony over on the left. And he's a good singer, too.
Israel, may I be rovers there.
Hashecha Bayiratah. And in thy great compassion I will come into your house. There I will bow, there I will feel thy holy.
Oh Lord, I love the house where you dwell,
and the place where your glory resides.
I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend a knee before the Lord my Maker.
And as for me, my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love Him. Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love Him. So for the sake of the sake.
To pray for Jerusalem today? Do we have a mic? If you'll come up front. And Carolyn, if you want to come join us, we can squeeze in. Come to the podium, Dave, so they can see you.
Is this on? Excuse me. God, we pray for Jerusalem today, amongst many other things, and many other places, and many other peoples. We know that Jerusalem is your home, your focus, the apple of your eye, like your people, the Jews. We see the world is in great torment and upheaval, and we know that this is because you are bringing your people back to Jerusalem, and you're going to bring them before you, and they're going to say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And all will be saved in a moment. And so we pray this for Jerusalem. And excuse me. And this is the peace that Jerusalem long seeks and that you've long sought for them. So please be with Jerusalem today as the torment of war continues in that place for thousands of years as people hate you and they hate your people. But we love them. And we pray for them, and we wish to serve them and help them. Yes. And in doing so, praise and bless you.
Thank you, Lord.
In your name we ask, Lord.
Yes,
Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you.
Now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant,
to bring Jacob back to him and bring
gather Israel to himself.
For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant,
to restore the tribes of Jacob
and bring back those of those he has kept?
He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Manavu Aleharu Ragalene Ambasen Manavu Aleharu Ragalene Ambasen Mashami for the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu,
Adonai Echad,
Baruch Shem Kevod,
Malhuto, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Barku Adonai Hamburah.
Baruch Adonai Hamburah Kalambayet.
Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim. Atalanu Et Torto. Baruch Atah Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the blessed one.
Blessed
is the Lord, the blessed one for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen. You can be seated. Okay, today's Torah portion is Vane Kan Dakan. And it means I pleaded, and it's from Deuteronomy 3, chapter verse 23 through chapter 7. And the half Torah is Isaiah. And of course it's talking about Moses is pleading, but this particular parsha is also called the Nakamu Parsha or the Nakamu Shabbat, because it begins the 7 days of comfort that will lead us up to the holy days that are coming sometime. I think it's in September, maybe late September, somewhere in there. So this one, so the comfort this week is called Nakamu Ani, which means comfort, O ye my people. And so that each week we'll have a different little saying there. So that'll be coming next week. There's another one. There's 7 of them. And that's what God was saying. It comes from Isaiah chapter 40. And Moses is pleading with God to enter the promised land. You know, he didn't do what God had instructed him. And so Moses is pleading, and he's been pleading for a while. And, you know, he's been praying to God. And, you know, when you pray, you're supposed to follow that with praise and worship. And sometimes it's good to praise and worship before you pray. Either way, sometimes one follows the other, and the other one follows the other one. So Moses, but God, you know, had heard him for quite a while pleading to be able to go to the promised land. And so on this parsha today, we see God tells Moses to not speak about going to the promised land anymore. You know, when God says something, that's pretty much it, you know. And it wasn't that God didn't love Moses. It's just like when your parents disowned you, it wasn't because they didn't love you that they disowned you. But, you know, love is, but what is love? It's an affection of someone towards something or someone. So this reason I brought that up is because yesterday was Tu B'Av, which is the day of love, and it's a minor holiday, if you want to call that, and it's the one that a lot of Jewish people get married on, like yesterday. And so it ended at sundown yesterday, so it's called Tu B'Av, and it's about love. And you know, we just came out of Tish B'Av with the sacrifice, not the sacrifice, but observing that time of mourning and of a fasting for 25 hours. And so that ended yesterday about the love. But, you know, today's parasha has two of the most recognized parts of the Torah, and that is the Ten Commandments and the Shema. So I came up with something a little about the Shema. You know, that, and Yeshua said that, you know, it's the one that says you should love the Lord your God and also love your neighbor as yourself. So here's something I came up with. The Shema, the core of the Shema is 6 words. Is the core of the Shema. And it tells us about one God. Nothing exists outside the oneness of God. And the Shema tells us that it's a learning time. It's a time to grasp and also a time to listen very deep inside of yourself to what is being said. The second word is Yisrael, which is the innermost part of our souls. The third word is Adonai, which is the unspeakable name of God, the one who transcends all time and all space. The next word is Eloheinu. It's the one who breathes within our soul that makes us go, who belongs to us, and He is the most important possession that you'll ever have in this life is Eloheinu. That's the most important possession. Nothing else you'll ever own or possess will transcend the presence of God. And the next word is Adonai. And Adonai in this particular phase here means it's the power to sustain all that's in existence today. And the last word is Ikad, and it tells us about the absolute oneness of the Heavenly Father. It tells us about the oneness of heaven and earth, and that there's nothing else that transcends that but God. We are filled with a yearning of our heart and soul that consumes, and it binds us into the oneness of God. Every word within the Torah and everything that every one of our thoughts and every one of our activities is bound within the oneness of God. So that's something I just came up with the Shema. And so, there's no darkness in God. We must not take our eyes off of Yeshua. You know, there's false teaching has been around forever, and it wants you to take your eyes off of Yeshua and look to other things. But when you get years ago I ran track, and they always said you have to, when you start off, you can't look up. You got to take off and then look up. And it keeps you from tripping. If you're looking, then you're not going to see what's in front of you. And that's very true in life. We must know who we are and why we were created. God created us for worship and praise to Him. God tells us to lahor, which means to guard the Shabbat. The Shabbat is very holy, and it's God's day for us. And God tells us to guard that Shabbat, just like you guard your home or guard the synagogue. God's desires is for us to be meek in our spirits, not to be afraid, but to be meek and to be kind. And these words are as important today as they were back when Moses and the Israelites were in the desert. But, you know, when Moses was pleading with God, you know, no words were spoken. It was a sign. The Tav and the Aleph is a sign of Yeshua. That tells us who it's about. Moses was bold, but he did not change God's decree. You know, we can't change the things God has set in place for us. There are certain things that God has placed, and that's an eternity thing. It's not something that God's going to just constantly change for us that we ask Him to. The book of Deuteronomy, or Devarim, is a book. It's actually a love letter back to the Jewish people, because God says they are sigilah. They are a treasure. That is a treasured possession of God. The Torah is about love, and love is about His people. And I'll call for His people to respond to Him in love and in living according to His instructions, which would be His Torah. But so Moses, in this Torah portion, just to close this morning, he goes to Mount Pisgah, which is Nebo, and there God lets him see the promised land, just like Abraham got to see what was going to happen prophetically for him. So Moses got the prophetic view, the revelation of what was going to happen. And so he was able to look upon the promised land, and then God took Moses, and he was there no more. But, you know, when you look at Moses, the scripture says his eyes never dimmed, and he kept his strength all that time. And I think, you know, one of the things that impressed me was when he went to the mountain and came back with the commandments and the word of God, his face shone with light, because when you're in the presence of God, there is holiness, and you will shine just like Adam and Eve. That's why they didn't have any clothes on. They had the glory of God on them. So it wasn't until they sinned that they had to change their attire, because the glory was gone. And that's why they were trying to cover themselves, because God already knew the glory had departed from them. Shabbat Shalom.
Deborah, you may join us.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Anthony. God's word is beautiful, and it's life to us. So we need to make sure that we put it inside of us. We don't neglect to eat His word, just like we eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Amen. Es chayi amakazikim ba etoreh meusha derareha arvedo bechol tivotecha shalom. Tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. Hallelujah. Jewish prayers are so beautiful. They're like poetry. Amen. And so, you know, God is the author of all things creative, lyrics and songs and poetry are the most beautiful in the world are the ones that God has given to his people. And we can write beautiful things, we can do beautiful things, but God is the author of all beauty and all creativeness. And so if we tap into that, you know, we're going to find some pretty awesome nuggets. Amen? Hallelujah. Just want to welcome you once again to Ari Yehuda Messianic Congregation and for Zion's Sake Ministries. That's the website that you're on if you're watching us online. And just hope that you'll come and join us in person at some point. We've got plenty of space here, and it is, we have a lot of love and for one another. We walk through the life of the Jewish people together in Yeshua. And if you're looking to serve Israel, to be a part of Israel in some way, this is a great place to start, and a great place where you can come and belong and be a part of Israel. Jew and Gentile, we are one together in the Messiah. Amen?
Amen.
And we worship him in spirit and in truth, and we are a family, and so that's what we are here. We hope that you'll join us, and if God's tugging at your heart, don't say no.
Amen.
Just say yes.
Amen.
And he'll open the doors. There may be opposition because the enemy doesn't want people coming to be with Israel, right, David? And so there's a lot of opposition from the enemy, but resist it, and you'll find a blessing that you will never find anywhere else. So come, make it a priority, press through. Hallelujah. So with that being said, just let us know if you have any questions. Call our office and leave a message. We don't keep hours, but our secretary will answer those or listen to those messages once a week, and we'll get back to you. So please contact us if you have any questions concerning this ministry. Just a couple of announcements. As you can tell, Rabbi and I are recovering from COVID. And several others in the congregation are also recovering. So, but we're on the other side. It's just my voice is not strong yet. So hope you'll forgive me. And Rabbi's doing, he's coming through, but we need to pray for him. His immune system is down, and so it's taking him a little longer to get back where he was before. So please continue to pray for Rabbi Joe and also his upcoming procedure. The ablation for his back is scheduled now for the 29th of August. That's at the Mayo Clinic. So we are praying that God will complete the process of healing and freeing up his back so that he can move and touch his toes and put his socks on and just be able to live life free of pain. So please continue to pray for that. Coming up this week, Rabbi has got a newsletter ready to go. I've began to format, so we're going to be sending it out this week. And so Sharon will be calling people for a day this week. I'm not sure which day that is. Has anybody heard from her? If not, she will be calling you for some one day this week. It's a really great newsletter. It's a prophetic newsletter. It's about when America's water broke. And it's actually kind of a print, but also a redo of a newsletter that Rabbi wrote back, I believe it was 2005. And it's an awesome prophetic word, and you'll not want to miss that. So if you're able to come help, even if you don't attend here normally, please leave a message on our answering machine here, and Miss Sharon will call you, let you know what time. Whatever the day is, we start like at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then we go till 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So any of that time on the day or the day before, if you schedule it with her, there's some jobs that we can do ahead of time as well. So just let you know so you can figure out what your schedule is and coordinate with us. So let's get that out, and we're just excited that God's word just continues to go forth from this ministry, the message, the messianic word, and it's a little different from, you know, the regular message that you hear prophetically, because we're coming from not only a perspective of Israel, but a messianic perspective of Israel. So I think you'll learn something, and it'll help you in understanding the times that we're living in. Amen?
Amen.
Also, the fall feasts are coming up. Rosh Hashanah begins September 26th, so you'll want to pencil that in. Pencil that in, and be ready to come into the house of the Lord. He says there are 8 appointed feasts that he lays out in Leviticus 23. The Lord does. These are the feasts of the Jewish people and that God gave to them. So if he gave them to the Jewish people, and the Jewish people it says that God told them to continually keep them throughout their generations forever. So these are things that God never did away with. Never. He said, forever you shall keep them. So, you know, he welcomes all to come into the house of the of Israel and celebrate these feasts. And he has prophetic words, and it's a time of revival and a time of prophecy and a time of understanding the times that we live in. So pencil that in, because it's God's on God's appointment calendar, so maybe we should make a priority for it as well. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I just also want to give a thank you to everyone who's been helping out with things that we've been doing on the building. We've had some opposition, but we're forging ahead little by little, okay, inch by inch. The latest thing I'll let you know is that we went ahead. There was some discussion on the forum about purchasing a shed, and so that all fell together, and we got such a great deal. It was $1,400.
Yes.
Down from $3,000.
Down from $3,000. So 50% off. Plus, because we're nonprofit, we got no tax added.
Praise the Lord,
man.
Yes.
We found a man who's going to be able to deliver it to us. Probably this coming week or the next week. We'll see what the exact day is. And it's an awesome little shed. It's actually, if Bill were here, I would talk to him about it. But it's really going to be like a little workshop because there's a workbench built into it, so we can put all our tools, we can lock it and collect it, all our things in there that that are kind of scattered all over the synagogue right now. And so I want to thank the Lord that he's organizing us. And I want to thank Bill and everyone else who has just been so good to lately just really pitch in and find solutions to some of the problems that we've been needing to address. I think the latest thing that they're working on is trying to get water from the inside of the fellowship hall to a faucet on the outside. So I'm not sure where that project is, but we're working on that one. But thank you, and praise God for his help. Also, prayer, I just want to ask that we would all keep those who are struggling in prayer. I'm not sure where Sharon is. I know her hips are really, really bothering her. She needs a hip surgery, and on one side and on the other, she needs physical therapy. And it's bad enough she may eventually need another hip replacement there, too. Aja, I went to visit her the other day. I brought her some Pedialyte, which she requested, and then I also brought her a bag of McDonald's, cheeseburgers, and a coffee. And she was at Bristol, but they transferred her to NHC in Johnson City.
Yes.
And so she's finishing her recovery there, and hopefully they'll give her some physical therapy to help her with walking. I think there's some balance and equilibrium problems there. So please pray for Aja. She was supposed to have her shoulder surgery, but that's been delayed because she contracted COVID, and now she's just declined. So we want to just keep her in your prayers. If anyone would just call out some other people that we need to pray for.
We need to pray for Bill.
Bill and his knees. I'm not sure. There was some mention of surgery dates for that, but I haven't heard anything. Has anybody? No. And Tom Shelton. Keep him in your prayers and want to.
What's up with Tom?
Yeah. All right. Well, with that being said, I'm going to pass it back to the rabbi for tithes and offerings.
Dawn,
yes.
I also remember the kids going back to school and the teachers.
Deborah reminds me that we need to just pray for the.
Why don't you pray for me?
Kids?
No, I'm publicly. Why don't you pray?
Lord, we just lift up the kids going back to school, and especially those who are involved in sports, that you would cover them with your protection, your angels give them charge over them, Lord, as they play sports, football and otherwise, and give them victory and success in their classes, Lord. Give them anointing and stamina to keep up with all the assignments. And Lord, we pray for the teachers that they would have patience and that you would anoint them to be able to relay information in a way that can be digested and learned. And Lord, we just ask that they would draw closer to you, Father, in Yeshua's name, and not learn to serve you and serve other people as part of their life. In Yeshua's name, amen.
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 Okay. Hallelujah. I just want to mention a couple of things about the shed, too. It's about 12. Is it 12 by 8 or 12 by 10?
I think it's 8. It's 8.
8 by 12?
No, 10 by. It's a 10 by 12.
10 by 12.
Yeah, 10 by 12.
It's a 10 by 12. You walk in on the right side. There's a door big enough for a tractor, and then there's a window, and then there's a workbench on the far wall. It's a really nice shed, and if anybody has any suggestions as to where we might put it, I'm thinking maybe we could sell the antique shed that we have. Somebody could come and pick it up, and somebody might like an antique shed, you know, in their yard. Some people are into that stuff. So and we could put it either next to that, or if anybody has any other ideas of a level place. We don't want it to get, we definitely want it to be above water level. So we don't want it to be too close to the back fence where the water sometimes gets mushy there in heavy rains. So about the furthest I'd put it is right next to the other shed, if as far as close to the fence. But I'm excited. I think it's a great shed, and people have been asking me what we're going to use it for. It's not for food storage. It's like we have all these chairs, folding chairs, tons and tons of folding chairs sitting in rooms, sitting in closets. We're going to put our folding chairs in there, boxes, things that we're not using, things that are taking up space that, you know, tools, if we ever get a lawnmower, if we ever end up mowing our own lawn, we could put it in there. You won't have bugs in there. It's pretty hermetically sealed. It's a beautiful shed. Somebody help William come in, please. Somebody get the door for him. So let's give the Lord a round of applause for that. He got us a great
thank
deal.
You, thank you.
Amen. So that was about it was $1,499 plus $275, but you never could get a shed that cheap.
No.
For that size. So I'm excited, and anyway, we've got the fall feast coming up, so we need to start preparing for that. And I'd like to meet at some point to start planning when we're going to have our services, so that the Messianic Times is offering to let us put our services in the Messianic Times for free, to publish our services. We have to decide when we're going to have them. So maybe we could stay for a few minutes afterward and kind of look at a calendar and kind of decide when we want to have services, special services or whatever, besides Shabbat. And I think that's it for me. Let's pray for the tithes and offerings. Hallelujah. And we just want to, folks, if you're watching online, if you'd like to contribute to our building fund or to our give alms, we've helped, in the last few weeks, we've helped bury somebody. We've helped... we help pay rent for somebody, people are constantly coming to us for help, and we're helping them. We haven't turned anyone away. We helped a young mother with a baby pay her rent so that she wouldn't be evicted from her building. And your alms really do matter. And so if you have spare change and you'd like to put it, there's a basket back there. If you have some spare change for alms, feel free, drop a few bucks. If you have 10 or 20, that's great. And then we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. If you're online, if you'd like to give, this ministry is good ground. We have raised up evangelists like Jim Leinbach. We've done humanitarian aid work in Israel, helped hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Israelis, taking care of their needs through this ministry. We have built wells for Ethiopians, Jews. We've dug three wells in Ethiopia for the Ethiopian Jews so they can have clean water. We've done this ministry, and you know, the people in it have accomplished great things for the Lord through the years. So this is good ground. This is a good place to sow. And I'm going to pray, and then we'll take our offering. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing in this ministry. We know that you're not done with us. And we just thank you that you bless the giver and bless the gift a hundredfold, and that you heal the sick, bind the brokenhearted, heal the lame, and just take away all the sickness, all the people with with joints. You have to be careful how you say that these days. But no, seriously, we pray for all the people with knee and shoulder issues and hip problems and back problems for healing. Pray, Lord, for all the people who are recovering from colds or COVID, people recovering from bronchitis, we just pray, Lord, for that you'd touch everyone, that everybody would be well. Yes. We ask in Yeshua's name, and we remember Mark Diane. Most of you don't know him. He was a great guy, a servant at the Messianic Jewish Alliance. If you ever went to a conference, he was one of the lights of the Messianic community. He was just loving. He was just a big teddy bear of a guy, about 6 foot six, 6 foot five. And he just loved people. He always ran the singles ministry. He sold Judaica. He was in the group Kol Simcha music group. He was just the personality and the voice. And he was speaking down in Mexico for the Mexican Messianic Alliance. And he fell and hit his head on a rock. And his brain bled, and he never recovered from it. And he died about 5 months later. And so we just want to remember Mark Diane and his family. We just pray for them, for comfort, and his congregational family, and all those who loved him and knew him, Lord, that you would just minister to them, Lord. As the old guard leaves us and the new guard, the changing of the guard is taking place. We just pray and thank you. In Yeshua's name, bless these offerings now. Amen.
Pituli Share Sedek Avovam Pituli to lead.
faithful in all our generations. Oh, know ye the Lord, he is good. It is he who made us, no man could. He is the shepherd, we the sheep. I know the Lord watches over me. So enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise.
Down at your feet.
Okay. Well, we're going to go to the Lord's table at this time. So let's prepare our hearts. And if you're watching at home and you'd like to join us, just, be a good time to get some grape juice or fruit of the vine of your choice, and some matzah or crackers, and prepare yourself to go to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord with us, or as Christians call it, communion, and celebrate that with us. Get yourself ready, and I'm going to make my way down there. I'm going to ask Tammy and Deborah, would you ladies serve for us today? Thank you. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to head down, and we'll bless the elements, and then we will partake of the grace, of the sacrament of the grace of our Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Test 2, 3, okay. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen, amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal, known as the cup of redemption. And it's the cup taken after the meal. And at every traditional Jewish Passover, it's still taken to this day, as it was in 2,000 years ago, and probably 2,000 years before that. And it's taken together with the broken piece of matzah called the afikomen. So we're going to bless the matzah. And take the whole tablecloth with me there. Baruch atarna Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Jewish people take the cup and the bread together after the meal, and they call it dessert, traditional Jews. But Jesus, Yeshua, said something completely radical when he was at Passover that night, known as the Last Supper. He said, this cup of redemption, is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm Jewish, and I was raised in a very Orthodox and very, very observant Jewish family. I didn't know there was a new covenant until I started reading the Bible. And I encourage you, if you're Jewish or if you have a Jewish friend, to show them Jeremiah 31:31 in the Jewish Bible, or even in their Bible or your Bible, whatever Bible you have. But usually Jewish people like to read Jewish Bibles. They think Christian Bibles are slanted or something's wrong with them. But anyway, if you have a Jewish friend, read Jeremiah 31:31, which says, "Behold, days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them. But this is the covenant I will make with them in those days, and I will put my Torah within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people, says the Lord. And I will forgive their sins, and no more will they say, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me." And God says he would forgive their sins. And Yeshua said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins." So, but he was referencing on Passover, on the Last Supper,
Jeremiah 31:31. He was saying, I am the new covenant. Mm-hmm. I am the covenant. The covenant, the word covenant in Hebrew means a cutting. And he was cut. He was okay. He was pierced. He was flogged. And his skin was brutally ravaged, and he bled. He bled for you and me. And yes. He took our sins and our sickness and our transgressions upon him. And then he said of the bread, he said, this bread is, Jews always called it the bread of affliction. He said, this is my body. It says in Isaiah 53, it says he was afflicted. He was afflicted. Jews have always referred to this bread as the bread of affliction. And he said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So we invite all believers in the Messiah to partake of the fruit of the vine and of the bread as we remember the body and the blood of our Passover lamb. My Passover lamb is Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth. Come as you're ready. We invite you to come. And I also want to encourage you to share that scripture, Jeremiah 31:31, and show how Jesus fulfilled it with your Jewish friends. Let them know. You can share those prophecies. Hallelujah. God bless you as you come.
Above all powers, above all things, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what your worth. Above all wealth and treasures of the earth.
rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me of all. Oh, girls of mine, lay behind the stone.
Don't know the Messiah today, the Bible says he's the Son of God, that he came to die for your sins and mine, and was buried 3 days and three nights, and rose from the dead on the third day. And all you have to do is believe that. And so if you'd like to believe, just if you're here today or if you're watching online, just wherever you are, just pray with me right now. We'll pray a prayer together. The Bible says if we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Yeshua, that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. So I'm going to give you a chance to confess that you believe by praying with me. Just follow me. And it's not what you say as much as what's in your heart, okay? Dear God, I have sinned against you. I have not read your book. I have let it collect dust on the shelf. Perhaps I don't even have one. I wouldn't know your word if I tripped over it. Forgive me, God.
Forgive me, God.
For breaking your laws.
For breaking your laws.
Your codes and your rules.
Your codes and your rules.
And your instructions.
And your instructions.
And then I believe.
I believe.
You sent Yeshua.
Yeshua.
Jesus.
Jesus.
To take away,
my sin and shame.
To give me purpose and direction.
Give me purpose and direction.
In my life.
In my life.
To fill the empty place.
To fill the empty place.
In my heart.
In my heart.
Now wash me, God.
Now wash me, God.
And make me clean.
Make me clean.
And put my name in your book of life.
Put my name in your book of life.
Right now.
Now.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
In Yeshua's name.
In Yeshua's name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. She prayed that prayer and meant it sincerely. You feel something, you know, maybe you feel peace, maybe you feel joy, maybe you feel warm fuzzies. I've seen numerous reactions to people who've prayed that prayer and meant it. And I encourage you to contact us if you receive the Lord, if you met the Lord today. The Messiah, Yeshua, and I have a gift for you. So contact me at For Zion's Sake Ministries. And I'm Rabbi Joe. All right. Well, let's take the bread and the juice together in remembrance of the body and blood of our Passover lamb. L'chaim. Can I turn the bass amp off? did want to mention somebody lit a skyrocket off on the roof right outside the foyer, and it left a nice big black burn mark on the roof of our building, and the rocket's still sitting up there. People just have no respect for the house of God anymore. It's sickening, and but it didn't catch fire, thank God. It just left a burn mark on our roof. So praise the Lord, we get to bear stripes. We get to share in His suffering. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, I'm going to give you a choice today. This is a choose the message Shabbat. What's that? I'll let you know. What's that? Okay. Yeah, you can hang out. I'm going to see what people want to hear. So I've got three messages. One is on the seals of Revelation, the broken seals, and kind of a prophetic revelation type message where we are in terms of the seals of Revelation, and that's one message. Another one is called the twofold purpose of Messianic Judaism. That I was going to bring a couple weeks ago. And then the third message that I have is life in the times of Yeshua, government, the way the government ruled in the times of Yeshua, versus and throughout history in the Bible, versus what we're going through right now, and what we're seeing in our own government here in the United States. And I don't really have a specific title for that, other than to say, I guess I would call it the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. So what would you, I'll give you three choices. The seals of Revelation, the twofold purpose of Messianic. How many want the seals of Revelation? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, that's quite a good one. The best is yet to come. One. Okay, you want that one too. All right. You only vote once. All right, we got one for that one. All right, and the twofold purpose of Messianic Judaism. Okay, we got two. All right, so I'm going to give the one on the seals, because that's the one that got four votes. And so this is we're going to talk about the seals of Revelation, and I think you'll find it interesting. This is actually the topic of my newsletter this month. But as Isaac gets ready, so the seals of Revelation, that will be for the ministry. You can't get on to it. 1996, the year I got saved.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So while Isaac's getting ready, I'll just share a little bit about what's going on. Frankly, I was shocked by the events. August 8th is my mother's birthday. My mother died in 2019, but it's her birthday. And it was the day Olivia Newton-John died. A little part of my childhood left this earth. Many of our our youth died that day. You know, if you watched Grease, if you liked Grease, you know, if you enjoyed, if you, I don't know, it's just a, it was a milestone in my life, watching Grease and John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. That was, and then another thing, they raided President Trump's palace at Mar-a-Lago, his home at Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, Florida. The FBI raided his home and took things and took documents and who knows what else they took, you know. And I've had a lot of thoughts about that. And I think the bottom line from what I see about it is that they are the number one reason for doing this they're trying as hard as they can to make him not run for president. What they are accomplishing is to make him run for president.
Yes.
They're trying hard to get him not to run. They are succeeding in making him not only run, but be the only candidate.
Yes.
And as one commentator said on the news last night, they don't know how tough this man is.
Amen.
They think they're going to break him. They're just hardening his resolve.
Yes.
Now, as a and I don't know, maybe I'll talk about it next week about the history of leaders in the Bible, but many leaders that thought, you know, Nebuchadnezzar was a great king, and he went out, he was, because of his pride, he was brought down, and was it Jeremiah? Trying to think of the chapter. Can't think of the chapter. But anyway, Nebuchadnezzar was brought down, and he was went out to live in the woods, in the forest, sleep under the stars, eat the grass, drink the dew, drink from the streams, who probably ate worms and things like that for 7 years. And God restored him after he repented and humbled himself. God restored him to power. Manasseh was one of the most wicked, was the most wicked king in all Israel and Judah. It said that he was worse, the Bible tells us, he was worse than all the Canaanite peoples. He was more idolatrous, perverted and sick and you know, wicked than all the kings of the Canaanites before him. And he ruled for 56 years, and late in life, God deposed him and sent him off to Babylon. Manasseh was thrown in jail, and from jail he cried out to God and repented, and believe it or not, God restored him to his throne in Israel from a jail cell in Babylon. And he ruled another, I don't know, maybe 10 years, you know, and he had a long reign, 56 years. I think, you know, a lot of righteous kings like Josiah only ruled, I think, for 8 years or so. You know, and I think Josiah died when he was 40. So, anyway, not yet. Well, I'll tell you. Almost. So, you know, God can do amazing things, and I got a word probably 13 years ago in prayer and fasting that America's finest hour was still to come.
Amen.
And I don't think we've seen it yet. America's finest hour is still to come, was the word I got. And I noticed at the end of President Trump had an ad that he made, and at the end of his speeches, he always says, the best is yet to come. He often says that. The best is yet to come. That kind of sounds like America's finest hour is still to come. And it is God who raises up kings and God who deposes kings and rulers. God puts people in power and God takes people out of power. So somebody said in Psalm 27, I would have despaired had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. So let's pray for the word today. I just want to encourage you. I mean, there's more. That would be a message. That was a short form while I was waiting. I just wanted to address that topic for a minute. I think that these plans are going to backfire terribly on the people that are the regime that is trying to control our country and turn us into a banana republic. I think it's going to backfire on them. All right, so the seals of Revelation. Okay, let's pray. I'm going to pray, Isaac, and then you can start. The title is The Seals of Revelation. Not that kind of seal, but the seals of the book of Revelation. And we can turn there. I think it's Revelation chapter 6. Okay. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word today. I thank you as you just anoint me and empty me of Joe. Bring forth your word and just use me. Help me. I don't have all the answers. But help me to get people thinking, studying, and reading. Help me to open their eyes. You, by your Spirit, Lord, open their eyes and their hearts to study your word and to seek your face and to, like the sons of Issachar, help us to understand the times we're living in and to know what to do. Yes. Help us to understand the times we're living in and to know what to do. I pray in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Okay, Isaac. All right. All righty. Praise God. All right. Shalom. Friends on Facebook, I'm Rabbi Joe. And yes, I am standing. Still fighting, but standing. Amen. And last week God passed over me, and Pastor Ed preached in my place. But this week he didn't pass me over, so I'm here to share a message with you. I'm calling it the Seals of Revelation, and I think you'll find it an interesting word. The seals of Revelation are in Revelation chapter 6, and we can read a little bit of them before I get into the message. Chapter 6, verse 1, Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, Come. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. The second seal, war. When he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, Come. And another red horse went out, and to him who sat on it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. The third seal, famine. When he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, Come. I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine. That's inflation, for those who don't know. The fourth seal is death. When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, Come. I looked, and behold, an ashen horse. He who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beasts of the earth. I don't know if you know, but they're predicting a huge amount of people. Over a million people died, they say, of COVID this past year in the world. Probably more than that. But they're predicting that because of famine in Africa, that tens of millions are going to die this year. And they're predicting famine in the world, even here in the United States. So get ready. Be prepared. because I think this is interesting, the fourth seal, for several reasons. It says in the end of the of verse 8, it says, with a fourth authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth, one quarter of the earth, to kill with sword and with famine. We're seeing famine. We're seeing a shortage of crops. We're seeing of grain in the east, a shortage of grain in the east, and corn. We're seeing famine in Africa, and we are on, our crops are not doing well in the West because of the heat and the drought in this country. Our crops are not doing well here, and much of our cattle is dying from the heat. That is famine, pestilence. COVID is a form of pestilence, disease. We thought that we had defeated polio. They found polio in the water. They actually test the water for diseases in different cities, and they actually found polio in the water of New York City. So polio is back in the United States for the first time in decades. They got rid of polio here several decades ago. I don't know, when did they stop vaccinating for polio? Does anybody know? But you think they still do? Would your kids got it?
Yeah, my grandkids.
So we would have gotten it then when we were kids.
Yeah, that was sugary stuff, remember?
I don't remember, honey, but I like sugar. Okay. Well, anyway, polio is back, and so pestilence, and then by wild beasts of the earth. Have you noticed? I don't know if you watch Shark Week. It used to be on the Discovery Channel. Now it's on National Geographic, and about five other channels have Shark Week. It was about 2 weeks ago, and a lot of it had to do with sharks going into rivers. From the ocean and swimming into rivers and attacking people. There's certain sharks, two or three varieties that can survive in fresh water, and particularly bull sharks, and they're very deadly, and they have attacked people. I remember reading a couple of years ago that they found the carcass of a bull shark in Ohio, in the Ohio River, which runs off the Mississippi River. That's pretty amazing. That's very far from the ocean. Sharks have been... I grew up on Cape Cod. We never had to worry about sharks when I grew up on Cape Cod. We saw Jaws, but honestly, I never saw a great white shark or heard of one when I grew up for 30 years or so on Cape Cod. Only when I was in my 30s did the first one appear, right not far from my house, about 3 miles off the beach, 3 miles up the coast. They found a great white tootling around in the waters off of the Elizabeth Islands. Now, because they're protecting seals, they won't hunt seals, they won't control the seal population. Seals are going, spending the summer off of the eastern, if this is Cape Cod, they're spending the summer in places like East Ham and Chatham off of the Cape Cod, and seals are probably the number one favorite food of sharks, great white sharks. So lots of great white sharks in Cape Cod lately. So I wouldn't recommend, and they're going, and they're attacking people in 3 foot, you know, they're going into two, you know, knee high, you know, water that's up to your thighs, you know, not even above your waist. They're attacking people. That's amazing what's going on. There's been an uptick in years of alligators in Florida attacking dog walkers and joggers along trails in Florida, and just wrestling them. And what an alligator does, they grab you, and then they start twirling and twisting, and then they, until you're just disoriented, and they just pull you under the water, and you're toast. And that's what a big alligator will do to you. They'll bite you. They'll start spinning. You'll get dizzy and disoriented and helpless. And you'll be alligator food. And there's plenty of alligators. There's snakes in Florida that are attacking humans. People have brought giant boa constrictors and pythons, you name it. Elephants have attacked villages. Normally, the Indian elephant, which is normally a very peaceful elephant, they have stormed into villages in India. You can Google that, and you'll see where they have just. It's not as though it was done like by accident. It was malicious. They went in intentionally, and they just trashed buildings and huts. Stepped on the people and crushed them, and with anger, you know, with malice. I remember a killer whale down at SeaWorld. I'm not sure if we were in Florida at the time. It was about 10 years ago when the trainer of the killer whale was taken. The killer whale grabbed her hair and took her down to the bottom of the pool and held her down there until she died. And they let that orca live. Usually the Bible says if a beast kills a human being, it's to be put to death. Once a beast is killed, they should not live. But people don't follow the Bible. So anyway, these are you can see, If you accept my premise here, I'd say we're already in we're in the fourth seal. The fourth seal. Let's read about the fifth seal. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. These are the martyrs. It doesn't say whether they're Jewish or non-Jewish. I have a feeling Christians are taught largely that these are Jews, but I don't think it doesn't delineate. I think there's plenty of Christian or non-Jewish martyrs, and there's going to be a whole lot more in the days to come, and I'm going to talk about why. The sixth seal is terror. I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood. We've been seeing blood red moons in large numbers for the last, since 2013. There's been numerous blood red moons, tetrads. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Okay, I'm going to stop there. This has not happened. We know for sure that the stars have not fallen from the sky and hit the earth like a fig tree blowing in the wind, casting its figs onto the ground. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
We're not there yet. We have seen blood red moons, but we haven't seen the blood red moon. I would venture to say it's coming, but the Antichrist needs to come first. Now let me get to the message. I just wanted to share. So I think that we have we're entering into the fifth seal, and the difference between the sixth seal. Oh, I'll get to it. We're not there yet, though. So a word came to me the day following the Christmas 2004 tsunami that killed more than 250,000 people from Indonesia to Sri Lanka. And remember, we talked about death in the first five seals. More than 250,000 people were killed from Indonesia to Sri Lanka to Thailand to Africa. The word was, the water has broken. The water has broken. Remember, God uses birth language when he talks about the birth pangs, the birth pangs of the Messiah. Okay, but God uses that type of language. So I'm going to use that language in this message. And the word I got was that the water has broken. The seals were beginning to break. And the birth pangs were about to begin. What follows is a prophetic teaching I wrote some months later. 1 year after September 11th, 2001, my wife was in her last month of pregnancy with our now almost 20-year-old son, Isaac, sitting here. And her pregnancy was a true education for me. One of the things I learned from it is that it is common for a woman to experience contractions before she goes into labor. These contractions are known as Braxton Hicks contractions. They are indicative that the real birth pangs are coming, but they are false labor and are not the real thing. I was praying and asking the Lord whether September 11th, 2001 was the beginning of birth pangs here in America. The Lord gave me an understanding that September 11th, 2001 was a Braxton Hicks contraction. In other words, as catastrophic and horrific as September 11th, 2001 was, it was merely signaling that the real birth pangs were yet to come and the water had not even broken. In October 2005, my wife was... Now, Don, you did have Braxton Hicks. You had pre-labor contractions, didn't you? I recall. Yeah. I do recall some not a whole lot, but you had some false contractions. In October 2005, my wife was once again in the last month of her pregnancy with our second child, Joshua. One night, she asked me to help her put a special pad on our mattress in case her water should break in the night. It immediately came to my mind that America's water broke when the levees of New Orleans broke during Hurricane Katrina and then again during Hurricane Rita. When a woman's water breaks, it is a sign that labor is coming. A baby cannot survive for too long in the womb without amniotic fluid. Don told me that birth pangs don't always come immediately after the water breaks, but they do come soon. According to the Well Pregnancy book, about 80% of all mothers will spontaneously go into labor after their membranes rupture. The other 20% may require hormonal stimulation to get their labor going. The sign of Noah. Yeshua said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not, they did not understand, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." Matthew 24:37-39. He also said, our Savior, our Lord said, "There will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world." I don't think we're there yet. That's talking about signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. That we talked about the sixth seal, which hasn't happened yet. I think that I'm not sure we're quite there, but there is dismay about the waves. They call it climate change. There's a name for it, climate change. According to AOC, who was elected 4 years ago, we have about 8 years left before the end of the world. I haven't heard her saying that we have 8 years left, but I do remember 4 years ago that she said, might have been 6 years ago, we might have 6 years left, according to AOC. Fortunately, I give her as much credence as I give what it says on the back of my box of Captain Crunch. All right, a couple thoughts. Number one, if the return of the Lord shall be as the day of Noah, and only eight people got into the ark or even thought about it, how many, even of God's people, will have the slightest clue what to do? Answer, not many. Number two, if September 11th, 2001 was a preliminary contraction, a Braxton Hicks contraction, then Hurricane Katrina was the day America's water broke. Think again about that great tsunami that roared its floodwaters over the South Asia and Africa in December 2004, killing hundreds of thousands of people in a matter of hours. Those floods hit two continents and brought virtually the entire world to a standstill. I believe that the world's water broke on the day of the great tsunami. If I am hearing the Lord correctly, then the world is about to experience the birth pangs of real labor. Okay, the beginning of birth pangs. Yeshua, Jesus, said, "Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs." Matthew 24:5-8. Yeshua described earthquakes, famines, false messiahs, wars, and rumors of wars as the beginning of birth pangs, uterine contractions. The following is what Dr. Mike and Nancy Samuels wrote about the beginning of birth pangs. "Contractions during the ninth month still tend to be brief, irregular and imperceptible to the mother, but they are more frequent and coordinated than earlier ones. These contractions were first described by an English doctor named John Braxton Hicks in 1872, and hence they became known by his name. During the last several weeks of pregnancy, they increased tremendously in frequency and may even become somewhat rhythmic. The period in which this happens is called pre-labor. Pre-labor contractions work toward shortening, effacing, and widening or dilating the tube-shaped cervix and stretching the bottom of the uterus. The contractions also soften the cervix. This process is called ripening. It indicates that the cervix is becoming ready for labor. If the famines, wars, pestilence, false messiahs, earthquakes, and floods that we have seen up to this point are just the beginning of birth pangs, and we have difficulty dealing with these events, then how unprepared are we for the real thing? Can I get an amen? All right, let the show begin. According to Samuels, another event called the show, S-H-O-W, signals the onset of labor by hours to days. From soon after conception until shortly before delivery, the mother's cervix is sealed with a mucus plug. As the cervix dilates and stretches, the opening becomes too wide to maintain the plug, and it slips out. Is it a coincidence that the seal is broken in order for a woman's labor to begin, just as seals are broken before the birth pangs of the world begin? When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Revelation 5, 8 through 10. The seal judgments. The signs of the end and of his return, which Yeshua spoke of, correspond to the seven seal judgments mentioned in Revelation chapter 6. The first five seal judgments are the anti-Messiah, war, famine, pestilence, and death by wild beasts. We have been experiencing terrible wars, great famines, more and more plague-like diseases such as HIV/AIDS, SARS, avian flu, Ebola, and now, more recently, COVID-19, and monkeypox. Experts are perplexed by the surge in attacks on humans by sharks in knee-deep water, bears, alligators, mountain lions, and even elephants. The usual answer is that we humans are encroaching on the animals' territory. But is it really that simple? The National Geographic Channel and other similar TV channels have been producing documentaries on the strange phenomenon related to the rise in deadly attacks on humans by wild animals. Regarding wars, I once heard it said that more people died in the great wars of the 20th century than in all other wars combined. My point is that I believe we have been living in the time of the first five seal judgments, friends, and are about to see the anti-Messiah revealed, the man of lawlessness, and come into his fullness. In recent previous articles, I wrote about the arrival of the beast of Revelation 13 and Daniel 7. You can see at www.forzionsake.org. You can read those articles on the beast. However, what we have been experiencing is just pre-labor, which is the beginning of birth pangs. For one, the Great Tribulation will not begin until the man of lawlessness is revealed to make his covenant with the many. In other words, I don't think the real birth pangs will begin until the man of lawlessness is revealed, according to the Bible, to make his covenant, Daniel 9, 26, 27, with the many. Secondly, the stars of the heavens must fall from the heavens together with the blood-red moon and the darkening of the sun. What is upon us is the judgment of the anti-Messiah and the beast system, not the wrath of God. Okay, so let me explain that. What we are seeing in the first tribulation, and it says in Matthew 24, please turn to Matthew 24. Excuse me. It's after Matthew 23. All right. Okay. So, verse 29. Matthew 24, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, everybody say immediately after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. So what's my point here? My point here is that the birth pangs of the Antichrist are nothing in comparison to the birth pangs of the Messiah. The birth pangs of the man of lawlessness, the judgments of the man of lawlessness, the troubles that will come upon the people of this world from the one world government, from the beast, from the Antichrist system, are timid or in comparison to the wrath of God, the bowl judgments, the trumpet judgments. You follow what I'm saying? So when you see the man of lawlessness revealed, when you see the stars fall and the asteroids hit the earth and the sun darken, the blood red moon, and the sun is darkened, and all those things happen after the tribulation of those days, you're going to have a really big tribulation, the great tribulation. Amen? They're going to have the wrath of God is what's going to come. And that's what I'm saying. I'm differentiating between man's judgment, the tribulation, and God's judgment, the great tribulation. Two different events. One is filled with pestilence, where we've seen COVID, AIDS, polio's back, monkeypox, things like that, SARS, avian flu, Ebola, man-made, man-created diseases, what do you call it, famines, wars, self-inflicted, taking away fossil fuels. I don't know if you've been following what's been happening. They've been pushing this ESG. Can anybody explain what the word ESG means? What, Dave? You can remember. ESG, they've been pushing this ESG doctrine on countries like Ghana, and they've done it to Sri Lanka. And basically what they've done is they have destroyed, they won't let them use fertilizer because fertilizer creates methane gas, so they're using other things to grow the food, and basically the crops are dying and people are dying in those countries. Ghana was one of the largest producers of fossil fuels in Africa. It was a wealthy nation 2 years ago. They have forced, it's been forced by the powerful nations of the world to stop producing fossil fuels, and they're becoming very rapidly one of the poor nations of Africa. And they were not only a producer of fossil fuels, they were an exporter of fossil fuels. Europe has done the same thing. They stopped producing oil and natural gas on their own. They started depending on the Russians, and now the Russians have, that was a most ingenious move by people like Angela Merkel, the former prime minister of Germany, who shut down all their nuclear power plants while she was in power, and joined in the Paris Climate Accord, basically ending the use of or development of fossil fuels. And now Europeans are having rolling blackouts in the summer. It's in many places I'm hearing that they're being told not to turn their air conditioning up below 80 degrees Fahrenheit in some countries in Europe. The crops are failing in the Netherlands. Farmers, they're not allowed to use, they've banned them from using fertilizer. And so you can't grow crops. They're not able to grow crops without the potash and the lime and whatever they need for the fertilizer. And so their crops are failing, and they're striking. People are angry. In Sri Lanka, they have overthrown the government. In the Netherlands, there have been riots this summer. I don't know how far it's gone as far as the government goes, but it's not working. Basically, the world is not ready for renewable energy to take over for fossil fuels. And our government says that they're doing everything they can to produce fossil fuels, but the very first thing our president did the first day of his presidency was shut down work on the XL pipeline, which would have brought over 600,000 either barrels of oil, or is it gas? I can't remember if it was natural gas or oil. I think it was natural gas, or it would have, either that was oil from Canada down to be refined in Texas, which would have given us and the world a huge, tremendous. We have so much oil. We have more than the Saudis. We have the most oil and natural gas of any country in the world right here in the good old USA, and we're not tapping into it. And now with this new law that they're passing, that just last week, they're going to tax oil companies and fine them and charge them fees and charge you and me taxes. We're going to pay for that. Those oil companies will pass those fees on to you and I. We'll pay higher prices for fossil fuels. And this is an all-out war and attack on the middle class is what it is.
Yes.
It's an all-out war and attack on the middle class. Their goal is to impoverish you. This falls right out of the communist playbook. Just read the communist playbook. Just look up the communist manifesto. Look up the top 10 main points. And their goal is to destroy the middle class, to impoverish you and me, and to make us, the poor, already dependent on them for food stamps and checks and everything, housing, you know. But the goal is to make us all dependent on the government. And so the nanny state, and then they can do whatever they want with us. They can, and mostly, they're going to kill quite. I believe their intention is to kill a good many of us.
Yes.
So, this is what's coming. However, God has the final say, and it will come in the end. However, I believe we have one more period of grace coming. All right, let's go on here. So, what we have been experiencing is just pre-labor, friends, which is the beginning of birth pangs. For one, the great tribulation will not begin until the man of lawlessness is revealed to make his covenant with the many. Secondly, the stars must fall from the heavens together with the blood-red moon and the darkening of the sun. What is upon us is the judgment of the anti-Messiah and the beast system, not the wrath of God. It hasn't begun yet. The sixth seal judgment, and also the Antichrist must make his covenant with the many. The sixth seal judgment is quite different from the first five. When the sixth seal breaks, things will get much worse. I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were removed out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Revelation 6:12-17. Though we have witnessed the types of events and catastrophes of the first five seals, my friends, which Yeshua told us precede the tribulation, our generation has not seen the likes of what is described above that I just said in the sixth seal. The seventh seal begins seven trumpet judgments, which I encourage you to read in Revelation 8:1-11:19. The sixth seal and the first six trumpet judgments are almost unimaginable in scope and terror. The seventh trumpet, also known as the last trump, is when the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah. And you can read them on your own. That's Revelation 11:15. That verse, the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah. Revelation 11:15. So let's review the birth process. The birth process begins with Braxton Hicks. Well, you know how it begins. But the actual birth itself begins with the Braxton Hicks contractions, false labor. Then the show begins. The show is when the mother's cervix dilates, the mucus plug comes out, the seal is broken. This is usually followed by the breaking of the water bag that surrounds the baby. According to Dr. Samuels, about 80% of women will spontaneously go into labor after their membranes, seals rupture. Then the real birth pang begins, according to Dr. Samuels. When this happens, contractions become regular, they increase in duration, and they increase in intensity. Conclusion, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Isaiah 55:8. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. I started to see a pattern develop following September 11th, 2001 that related to the birthing process. I have watched my wife go through this process twice. Yeshua related the events of the end times to the birthing process, as did the Apostle Paul. I believe that God was teaching me about the birthing process in order to help my wife, and several women in our congregation were having babies in those days, in order to help my wife bring our son into the world, and also that I might share how it relates to the times we are living in. I believe that the Second World War, the Holocaust, First World War, Vietnam, the San Francisco earthquakes of 1906 and again in the 1990s, the attack on the World Trade Center, Hurricane Andrew, or Braxton Hicks contractions, pre-labor. I believe that the first five seals of Revelation 6 have been broken, just as the seal in a woman's cervix and the seal of her water bag are broken. I believe that the great tsunami of 2004 and the levees breaking during Hurricane Katrina are signs that the world and America's water have broken. The only logical conclusion I can make, and the one that prompted me to write this article, is that we are about to see the world go through the period of tribulation where most judgment will come from the beast and the man of lawlessness, false labor. Afterward comes the day of the Lord or the great tribulation. God's end time labor will be terrible and traumatic, yet it will birth a wonderful kingdom of our Lord here on earth. The real thing is coming upon us, friends, and we are not ready for it. We are not even ready for the judgments of the beast or the Antichrist, the dragon and the false prophet. Friends, in the days of Noah, he built such a great ark that it took decades to build. It was over 100 years. Surely men inquired of Noah as to why he was building an ark where there was no sea. Still, they did not believe him, In fact, when the rains came, there was no record that they even tried to knock on the doors and come in. History will repeat itself. God said it would be like the days of Noah again. This article could have been written last week, but except for a few edits, it was originally written in the middle of the days of awe between Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, fall 2005. The themes of these feasts of the Lord, see Leviticus 23, deal with the repentance and preparation for the coming of the King. They have to do with birth and with judgment. The Feast of Trumpets sounds the alarm that the King is coming, but his return will be preceded by judgments. The trumpets of the feast are shrill, piercing wake-up calls that are types of birth pangs themselves. They are shadows of the trumpet judgments that will come upon the world. I believe God is calling all who hear this message to repent and to pray with fasting, if not for yourself, for your children and your grandchildren. You cannot stop a woman in labor from bringing forth her child, nor can we stop God's judgments, but perhaps we can stay the hand of God and buy some time to seek His face and His instructions before the world goes into labor. I invite you to attend our fall feast services beginning in September, and please feel free to share this article or this message on Facebook. You can share it with your friends. I'll be publishing it soon. You can sign up for my newsletter and you'll receive it, a copy of it, and I'll send it to you. Sign up, friends online at our website, and share it with your friends. Encourage them to sign up for my teachings. God's ways are not our ways, friends. Perhaps He has a very different plan than what you have been preparing for. Will you be on the ark when the proper time comes? Shabbat Shalom. Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha. Bichunecha, Yisa Adonai, Panavelecha, Vayasem lecha, Shalom." May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, and soon coming King. Shabbat Shalom, and God bless you. Greet one another, and have a wonderful Shabbat. There is no